Grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Dear faithful friends who've gathered here tonight, these words that we've just heard from Galatians are among the clearest descriptions of our salvation that can be found anywhere in the Scriptures. We were under the law, which served as our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. Yet we might wonder what purpose the law has for those of us who have been brought into God's family through faith. What does this mean? How does putting on Christ bring us justification through Him? Are we truly no longer subjected to God's good and perfect law? When we speak of God's law in this way, we have to be absolutely clear as to what this scripture reading is reminding us of. Because before Christ came, the world was under the curse of death, the curse of sin, which we too have inherited from Adam. We were born into this curse. We were conceived in sin, just as God's word has told us. And we were immediately subjected to the result of this condition. Of course, we know from God's word that the penalty for sin is death. So as Adam and Eve rebelled against God's good and perfect order, paradise was shattered, thrown into corruption. Sin covered everything that existed. Adam had secured death not only for himself, but for his children forever. God's presence was removed from his perfect creation, and life was smothered by sin, as God's perfect order was rejected by our first forefather. This curse traveled far and wide, reaching every living thing and even this world itself, as sin stained the soil for the very first time. Yet God still desired life for this marvelous creation. He didn't desire death for it, nor did he determine that this creation was beyond its value to be redeemed. Therefore, the Lord God gave this fallen creation a promise of a new creation, and the promise of a new Adam. Yet, an image of our current corruption remains with us as God gives us his law. So when we hear the Ten Commandments, we're basically given a summary of what this perfect order under our Father in heaven looks like. Before Adam brought sin upon the entire world, it was our nature to have no other gods before us. It was our nature to love him and his presence. We had no need for another god, not until Adam and Eve desired to be their own gods, when Satan removed them from that life-giving promise of that first covenant. And so from then onward, the law is now being held up to us like a mirror, showing us that clear image of our corruption and simultaneously showing us an image of that paradise we had lost. Before we put on this sinfulness of Adam, we truly loved God and each other, as we didn't know a hint of wickedness. But now our nature has taught us to declare independence from the source of life itself. And it's because of sin that we too have learned to hate not only God, but each other. But God saw it necessary to show us how dead we truly are, the law articulating for us both its blessing and its curse, because it's an image of our former blessedness, but also an image of what we could never have again. But why would God let us linger in this sin? And why do we need to be reminded of our fallen state? And that answer, dear friends, it came to us in Genesis 3:15, when we were promised that new Adam, the Savior who would restore order to this fallen and corrupt creation in that very clear image of perfection. So as we heard these words from Galatians, we heard the declaration of God's promise fulfilled. God had seen it necessary for us to know our sin by this law, which He had written and has and leaves on our hearts, but also so that we might recognize His love when it came to us. Had God allowed us to blindly continue wandering in our sin, we would have destroyed ourselves a long time ago, and Satan would have had his final victory over everything that God had created. Yet, the guardian of God's law, which served as a curse to us, has now proven itself to be a blessing through Christ Jesus, who has proven himself under this very law to be the first fruit of a new creation. And while God's law is articulating the corruption that we are, it also reveals that perfection that is God, who has taken our fallen flesh upon himself, making himself a curse, that he might die with it, and therefore destroy that curse of death. But Christ, had he remained dead, we still would have been lost. But our Lord rose triumphantly and from his grave, declaring once and for all that God's order has permanently been restored, even in the midst of our corruption under sin. Jesus is the first man to be born into this new creation, which makes him our new Adam, the first to be raised from corruption into this new eternal era that will forever remain secured by God our Father in heaven. Galatians said, Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. No longer does our guardian of God's law stand over us like an executioner, reading our list of capital crimes and the justification for that death sentence. Because through faith in Christ, the new Adam, we now put on his righteousness and expect a resurrection like his, because his flesh has paid the price of our sin. And even though this earthly flesh continues to succumb to the effects of sin, by putting on Christ's righteousness in baptism, we know that shedding the remnants of evil in us will lead us to having only righteousness when we are given a new body on that day of the resurrection. And this, my friends, is the gospel. This is why we have a new paradise in store for us, rather than that dark hole that waits for us in the ground. And this is how we no longer have to see God's image of perfection and this law as an oppressor, because Christ has put this righteousness on us, restored our former nature by means of faith in Him. So as we prepare to enter a new year, many of us are planning to make changes and resolutions to our lives that we're honestly not going to keep. But this too is an indicator of how corruption prevents us from doing good. And while it's commendable to make changes this new year, I encourage you also to renew your devotion to God's Word that has given you this Christ, and devote yourself to the life of faith, this life that has secured you in His glory forevermore. And thanks be to God for Christ, the new Adam. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand to sing the offertory of page 192.
place that sheep in the baskets in the narthex as you leave. We collect the offerings. You may be seated.
Let us stand to pray. Eternal God, as we begin this new year, we commit to your mercy and forgiveness the year now ending, and commend to you for your blessing and love for the year yet to come. In this new year, abide among us with your Holy Spirit, that we may always trust in the saving name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, you made your beloved Son, our Savior, subject to the law, and caused him to shed his blood on our behalf, even as a child. Grant us in the name of Jesus, and through the true circumcision of the Spirit in holy baptism, that our hearts may be made pure from all sin. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Page 194. The Lord be with you. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Stand to sing.
Lord, thou hast said.
pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.